Ephesians 6. We have been looking at demonology. Let's consider verse 12 again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your divine word. And this word of yours we understand to contain Zoe, your God-given life. We pray, O God, that even as we hearken unto your word and pay attention to your word and allow your word to come into our spirit, let that burst forth through our life, revelation, O God, that we may understand the life that we are to live, that we may understand our weapons against the enemy. Father, we praise you and thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. Welcome, Holy Spirit, to open the hearts and minds of each one of us to your word. We promise, Father, to always give you the worship, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and every host of wicked spirit, every ruler of darkness of this age, and the wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Your enemy is not human beings. The difficulties in your life are not natural. They are all spiritual. Every hindrance and problem in our life, some of it outwardly may be natural, and even sometimes it looks 95% natural, but yet you will always see that there is an element of demonic activity involved. I personally believe that when typhoons, hurricanes, earthquakes, all these things, part of it are demonically caused, as we see the strong wind that blew against the disciples, and Jesus said, "Peace be still," and they stopped. They respond to Jesus' command. Jesus rebuked it. And you notice that in the book of Job, when the devil told God that he was going to cause troubles to Job, all the troubles that happened to Job look natural. Let's turn to it for a moment. In the book of Job, the devil was said that he was going to come after Job. Notice all these things that happened to Job from the outward perspective. Verse 13. Now there was a day, now the devil already said he was going to come at Job. And in verse 13, now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." It says the Sabaeans, robbers, came by and killed all the children. Looks natural. Let me tell you, every robbery that happens on this earth may look natural, may look like the greed of man, the covetousness of man, but behind it a percentage. I'm not saying that it's 100% devilish cause. I'm not saying that every robber is demon possessed. Some of them may be. But there is always an element of demonic work, spiritual forces that influence evil on this earth. Whether that robber had a thought came from the enemy. And he yielded to the thought. Whatever it was, demons are at work. That is why, supposing a person's house get robbed, behind it there's demonic work. And when we begin to take authority, when we begin to take authority over all the demonic work in the lives of people, we notice that no evil befalls us. Why is that so? For the authority of Jesus reigns over the demonic realm, and the demonic realm ceases or is stopped from maneuvering against us through human beings. They're at work using human beings. The Sabians were demonically and satanically inspired. Looks natural. You could explain every evil as a natural cause, but you would miss the whole point of what this Bible is talking about. That all the problems of mankind, their source happens to be the devil. Remember this, we are not saying that Satan may be directly involved, for every problem was as a result of demon possession. We are not saying that. We are saying, on the other hand, and instead, that Satan and his demons are at work influencing human lives who will choose to yield to him. Let's read on the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 16. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God." Oh my word, it was not the fire of God. Incidentally, it was just a lightning. But in the Old Testament, everything that happened, they always say the Lord. That's one of the problems. "Fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you." It was a lightning. A lightning struck. Now Satan told God that he was going to get after Job. Looks like a natural occurrence. No way. There are spiritual forces at work. There are a lot of natural disasters that you can take authority over, my friend. If a typhoon were to come by near your house, we don't have them here so much. But supposing you were in Hong Kong or in one of these places, and you're standing there, it comes straight at you, what would you do? If you say, "Oh, it's naturally caused," then you better have a natural protection. But because some of these natural disasters have an element of satanic influence, you could say, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," and suddenly it ceases. It's remarkable. We know that typhoons don't have ears. So who does the hearing? Demonic forces. Well, let's read on. Verse 17, what a disastrous day it was. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have come to tell you." It's another disaster. The Chaldeans, three bands of robbers came. Looks natural. It's not natural. A lot of things you look in the newspapers, a lot of happenings in the newspapers are demonically inspired. In fact, let me put this statement, all of man's problems have a trace back to Satan and demonic work. Paul's revelation, this is the book of Job. One of the disadvantages of Job was he did not realize that it was Satan. The thing about the Old Testament folks was that they don't have what we have in the New Testament. We have twofold. We have a revelation of Jesus, and in a sense, a revelation or exposure of the devil. We are told and informed that there is a spiritual enemy. In the Old Testament, they did not realize some of these things. And Job didn't know, probably, about satanic existence. The New Testament is both a revelation of Jesus and an exposure of the works of the devil. The thief has been found. He was there all the time, but Jesus revealed that he is the thief. Let's read on. Verse 18 of this sad story. Well, I promise not to end there. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness." What great wind? It was demons. "And struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young men, and they are all dead. I alone have escaped, and I am here to tell you." Now, doesn't it look natural? It was an accident. It would have made the headlines. House fell down, wind blew the house down. All dead except one. One escaped, and that one usually have a very long story.
only survivor, the lone survivor. What a headlines it would have made. A lot of the things in the newspapers you read, you can take authority over, my friend. If you read that the crime rate is rising, take authority over your city. Say you demons that are causing people to rot. Stop! Get out! And you see the crime rate go down. Every problem of men, every evil of mankind, 100% of it can be traced right to the enemy. Not all of it is directly caused. I remind you, not all of it is directly caused. It's not because people are demon possessed. Some of them are. But influence is what we are talking about. Another proof of it is this. That in Revelation chapter 20, when God locked up Satan and all his demons, the world had peace for 1,000 years. Doesn't that tell you something? And the world that exists at that time had unregenerated man, for after that, the nation still rebelled. Yet, without Satan and his demons, the world had peace. Lock him up. Lock the demons up. And you will see that all the problems can be traced to them. We do not know what might have happened if Adam and Eve were not tempted. See, there is always a source. There is an enemy that is coming against man, fallen Satan. So Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is a revelation. Don't fight your battles by the natural means. You will lose. You will lose. And some Christians are still fighting in the natural when their battle is in the spiritual. Long ago, very long ago, I don't know where I saw this, but it stuck in my mind and it's such a good illustration. Where must have been an advertisement on something, advertisement on something. And there was these two sort of warriors coming to battle. One was an Asian warrior. I mean, he was an expert swordsman. And he came against a cowboy. And so the cowboy and the samurai were going to fight. And the samurai goes this way. All his beautiful stroke, the crane movement, and donkey movement, or the swallow movement. I mean, he got all kind of beautiful styles. They go this way, and that way, and that way. All the beautiful styles. And cowboy in his rough, tough way, pull his gun. When the samurai make all kinds of movement for 15 minutes. Beautiful movements, yeah, and art. And the cowboy, which doesn't know all this art, took his gun. That was the end. The weapons that were being used were different. And sometimes we laugh at a samurai, but we are like the samurai against Satan. He is a spirit being. He is a spirit being causing your problems, a lot of it in the natural. And we don't see him, so we don't realize that he is the root cause. And we are like a samurai in the natural, trying to fight our battles in the natural. And he is having a heyday. All our problems are spiritually caused. We have to take authority. If there's a hindrance in your life, I don't care whether it's natural, you take authority too. Your boss behaves like the devil. Don't attack your boss. Attack the devil behind the boss. That's why he was like the devil. Probably the devil behind him, telling him nasty thoughts. Because the devil hates you, so the devil could find an open ground to influence a guy to torture you, torment you in the work. Whatever situations you are facing, perhaps there are finances in your life that are not coming through. Guess who is the robber? Not the finance company, not the bank, not your employer, not your clients. There's a demon behind all these things. There are demonic work involved in all these things. Neither do I advocate going to the other extreme, where you see a demon under every rock, under every chair, under every flower, under every plant. Neither do I mean that kind of attitude. So that every time your wife or husband gets angry, you say, Satan, get behind me. Neither do I say that. Don't move to the extremes, please. On this extreme here, there are those who don't acknowledge demonic influence. Every problem in your life, they try to treat it in the natural. The other extreme is that every problem is seen just merely to be spiritual. That is just merely demonic work. And so, every time they have a difficulty in life, say, the devil made me do it. Devil's behind. You go to the supermarket and find it very difficult to find your way, say, devil, get behind me. Making me lost or something. You drive your car, couldn't find a road map because your brain's a bit dumb. Devil, get behind me. I mean, not all your problems are to blame the devil. Now, here's the balance. All the problems involved can be traced to spiritual influence. But spiritual influences in your personal life can sometimes come in because of the flesh. And the flesh cannot be cast out. It needs to be crucified. You don't cast out the flesh. It won't work. You crucify the flesh. The sins of the flesh are to be crucified, not cast out. People have their words wrong. And here is the balanced view. You recognize both sides. You're neither on this side where you don't even believe in the satanic influence or even Satan himself. Neither are you this side where you look for demon under every stone, under every chair. But your balance, where you recognize every problem has a spiritual influence. And in some of those problems, you are led to take a special authority over those demonic problems. Others, you are led to close those doors that open a way for their influence. So on the second way of closing those doors, the moment you close the doors, they stop disturbing. No matter how much taking authority you do, if you have an open door in your life, it makes no difference. Taking authority doesn't work. If you close those doors in your life, and it won't work anymore. It automatically doesn't work. So, not all demons need to be cast out. For demons can go out without being cast out. In Acts 19, we realize that when the anointed handkerchiefs and aprons went and touched any demon-possessed people, demons ran out of them because of the anointing, not because they were given a command. At the same time, we realize that when David was playing his harp to Saul, Saul was disturbed by an evil spirit. David did not cast out the demon, neither did Saul. They don't know anything about that. But every time David played his harp, the demons left. See, the harp, the music, had to soothe Saul's mind and emotions. When his mind and emotions were calm and not highly strung, like a person in a nervous wreck, the demons or the evil spirit had no place to work in his life. Can you see that? I'm giving you scriptures. That there are demonic work that you sometimes don't have to take authority, you just have to live your life right with God, walk with God and the Word, and the demons automatically leave. There are, however, some areas where you need to take authority. You say, brother, how do I know the difference? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you and tell you, if you pray in tongues much, 1 hour a day, or more if possible. The Holy Spirit will tell you there are 5 sensations of the Holy Spirit. One of the sensations is to take authority. And you will know, when you pray over every problem, there are some situations where as you pray, the doors close. And the open doors to the enemy all close up and the enemy just automatically leaves. There are other situations where you need to take authority. I hope I make myself clear in that area. Having made that statement clearly, let's look at Paul's understanding here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thessalonians chapter 2. It helps to understand that all your problems are demonically caused. However, understanding that all our problems are demonically caused does not mean that all of them are treated the same way. Let me repeat that. It's an important statement. We must understand that all problems have a source in the spirit realm. However, the treatment for them are not all the same. Because there are some that you have to take direct authority over the spirit realm. There are others where you just have to live your life right with God, walk with God, close up all the doors that you're open, and they automatically are taken care of. God ordained that. Because if you have to take authority for everything, it is time consuming, and you don't have time for the Lord. See, there are so many devils out there, there are so many demons out there. If you have to take authority all the time, you don't have any time to worship the Lord or praise the Lord. Every time you want to go out of the house, since there are demons hanging all over the road, and maybe in your neighbor's house, since they got idols there and all kinds of wrong things, every time you go out, you sense a demon, you see an idol there, bind you, Satan, I bind you, demon, I bind you. That time go to a restaurant, which has an altar there, you know, worshipping all these idols, hoping the demons will bring more customers, and you went there not because the demon brought you. Because your stomach calls you and you like that food. And you went there, but when you go in, you have to stand up, and say, I take authority over you demons in Jesus' name. And then you sit down. And every time you have to do it, you have no time to worship and praise the Lord. What an odd life. And yet the strange thing, there are people who do it. There's people who do it. I call them lopsided Christians, the one that side. See, what happened to these Christians here is, they discover one truth, but they didn't discover the application for the truth. Which is what happens. Sometimes you discover part of a revelation, but you don't continue with that revelation and you don't realize how to work it out. You just take half a revelation and run with it and you become lopsided. Go off on a tangent. They discover that all problems are spiritual and it is true, it is a truth. But they don't go further to see that not all spiritual problems are treated the same way. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, made this statement in the last few verses, verse 17, 18 and 19. For my brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul says in verse 18, oh, I wanted to come to you. I desire to come to you time and again, but Satan blocked us. Question, how did Satan block him? Is it that Satan came to him and just, no way, Paul. And Paul wanted to go and he goes this way. And play what they call, what do the children play? I forgot what they play. Where they draw the lines and you cannot cross the lines. You know those games, skip, hop and jump or something. And so the children will go this way to block you. And that's not necessarily that. See, Satan will use human beings who are you to him, even Christians if they do you to him. Satan will use anything he can find to hinder you. Sometimes he may appear directly to you, or you ask one of his demons to hinder you, but he doesn't do it the same way. He doesn't always have to appear to block you. See, there are so many methods of his operation.
And as many as his methods are, so do we have many weapons against him.
Paul says, Satan hindered me. How did Satan hinder? Let's look at Acts,
the book of Acts,
and see how Satan hindered him from coming to the Thessalonians.
And let scripture interpret itself. Acts 17. That's the first time he went to Thessalonica. Verse 1.
Now when they passed to Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, 17 verse 2 now. Then Paul, as his custom was, went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Christ whom I preach to you is the Christ. Some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But, verse 5, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious,
that's the spirit of envy there,
took some of the evil men. Now those evil men were also demonically influenced. They may not be possessed, but they were definitely influenced. From the marketplace, they took gangsters, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, attacked the house of Jason, sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, these, those that turned the world upside down have come here too. Verse 8, and they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night. Paul was driven out by Jews and the evil men in the city, gangsters in the city. Out of the city, these people were full of envy. Envy can start as a human emotion, but as it is yielded to, it can end up with a demonic spirit of envy. And they were so full of that kind of wrong spirit that they went against the gospel that Paul was preaching.
Paul said, Satan hindered me.
Paul understood that it's not the Jews. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age and wicked spirits in high places. He knew whom his battle was, so he exercised authority in the spirit realm. He understood. We are to love God, love man, and hate demons, and hate the devil. We are to love sinners, but hate sin. There's the difference. So we all men, we cannot take authority over human beings, but we can take authority over spirits that influence their lives. We do not have authority over human spirits, but we have authority over these embodied spirits, demonic spirits. We have to choose to love all human beings, but take authority over spirits behind it. Let me tell you, sometimes Christians get themselves influenced by demonic spirits without realizing it. They are like Peter in Matthew 16, who wanted to stop Jesus going to the cross, but it was Satan behind it, and Jesus had to say, Satan, get behind me. People don't realize that when you talk about demonic work, it's not only demons that cause you to break the Ten Commandments. Demons of envy, demons of pride, demons of gossip, demons of backbiting. These are all demonic influence. Demons of evil speaking, evil thinking. It generates evil. Anything evil is of the enemy. Satan is a slanderer. That is one of his titles and names. And any slanderer, human being who uses slandering, will yield themselves to Satan's spirit. It's important for us to realize that's why it irks me. It when I find Christian yield to evil talking. And sometimes the higher up you go, different kind of spirits disturb. See, when you are young in the Lord, He attacks you with demons from the lust of the flesh. But as you grew and you overcome those status in your life, He tries to come against you with demonic spirits of lies and slander. And that is why the top leadership in churches are attacked more by this kind of spirit, so that Satan will feed wrong thoughts and lies. This person is thinking that about me. This person is thinking that about me. For Satan himself is the master at the art of lies. And the higher you go in the spirit realm, there are different kind of demons that you fight and battle against. Therefore, the higher you go in the Christian life and in the Christian leadership, the more you are careful about what you hear. You may hear everything, but you are careful about what you believe. You are careful about what you speak. Sometimes it may be a true incident, but there's no point talking about it. It doesn't help. And by talking about it, you glorify Satan, because all those work behind it are satanic influence. He will want you to talk about it, meditate on it, and grow more and bear seed and fruit on that area. So remember, if we grow more and more in the Lord, in the ministry of God, the higher you go, you face higher kind of demons. The highest of them is Satan, who is called a slanderer and accuser of the brethren. So in the end, you may come to him face to face, and his attacks are different from the lower demons. The lower demons just deal with the flesh of the lust of the flesh and all these yuck. But the higher demons deal with very crafty things. Know who we battle against. And the higher we go up in church leadership, the purer our mind must become, the purer our words must become, the purer our conversation must become, the purer our thoughts about others must become. We must learn to believe the best of people. It irks me when I find and come across leaders who are negative. To me, leaders that are negative are not qualified to lead the body of Christ on to victory. Amen. We need leaders who learn to see the good in others. Look at the Lord Jesus, our chief commander. Every person he looks, even those given up by people, given up by the body of Christ, when others say there's no hope in this guy, he's such a rotten rascal, he may be born again but he's so rotten, and there's no hope. If we take their view, we are not like Jesus, because Jesus sees potential in all. Amen. He who has created all men knows what is his will for them. And the higher up we go, we must have his love. His love. His love that can see not just the past of the person or the present, but the future. What a person can be. And any true leader of Jesus Christ that I look for, I'm talking about true leaders and false leaders. True leaders and leaders set up by men. Leaders that are set up by the Spirit, and leaders that are set up just by hierarchy and organization. The true leaders of God and God's flock and God's people will always learn to look at people with the eyes of love and bring potential out of them where none can be seen. And through time, truth always prevails. If a human individual gets into a position of leadership but is not qualified by the Spirit, the person struggles with submission. People don't want to submit to the person because people cannot look up to the person. And then you have a problem. You have authority but no anointing. What God wants is authority with anointing. And then you don't have a problem of submission, because people look up to you. People naturally want to yield to you and submit to you and your leadership. So the problems in many, many denominational areas or churches or even any structure is that we have to watch that the qualifications of the Spirit and the anointing of the Spirit are the true qualifications of leadership. Praise the Lord. So we are talking here about demonic work. They attack people differently in different realms. And here, Satan was filling this Jewish people with envy, and they went against the work of God. Many of these people don't realize that it's Satan. That's a sad part. But they can't see him. So we have seen that all our problems can be tied up to spiritual causes, but we treat them differently. Some you have to take authority, some you close the doors. The important thing is the realization of who you fight. You never fight against flesh and blood, but you fight against demon forces that are working. Demonic forces that are working. And as we look at demon forces that are working, the question is,
What is the most important weapon that we have against demonic forces? What kind of force can we release that they yield to? And what do they fear most? The answer to that can be seen by examining their side first. See, Satan and demons operate by the force of fear. Fear is their basic weapon. It's their basic weapon. If you are afraid, the person whom you fear already is in authority over you and you're subservient to them. In Hebrews 2 verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. See? Him that has the power of death, that is the devil. It ends with a comma. Verse 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There are many kinds of fear and phobias. It's a fear that cripples a person. A person could be big, well built, muscular, looks like Mr. Universe, but if the person had a childhood fear of water, I don't care how many muscles a person may have, he will never swim. Another skinny one, not as many muscles, not as strong a stamina, could probably look at the water and die, huge, and enjoy the water. The difference is, one was afraid. Not because the person didn't have the ability. Scientifically speaking and analyzing, the person had all the muscular power available for swimming. But the fear has crippled the person. Fear is a force that the enemy uses. Every demonic possession that people have undergone is because of a fear that has come against their life. They have yielded to some areas of fear, and there is no end. You could list all kinds of phobias. There is no end. There is a phobia of height, phobia of water, phobia of eating, phobia of this, phobia of that. All kinds of fear. And it's to fear that Satan and demons gain their ground and put people in bondage. The element of fear. Fear of death. Fear of the future. Fear of working. Fear of rejection. Fear, fear, fear of man, fear of woman. All kinds of fear. And fear of bringing up children. Fear of fear. All kinds of fear. And it's through this element, the main force, remember, the main force of the enemy is fear. Therefore, the opposite of it is faith. The most important force and weapon against the enemy is faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, it lays down all the full armor of God. The shoes of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, sword of the spirit, but only one of the piece of armor is described as to what it does. It says, the shield of faith in Ephesians 6 that quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. The shield of faith is so important, for if the shield of faith is utilized,
all the weapons of the enemy are rendered obsolete. Imagine, if you have a weapon that could cancel out everything of the enemy, such that the enemy has completely no more weapon, you actually already won the battle. You already won the battle. He is already harmless. What a powerful weapon faith is. So the teaching of the word sets people free. Faith is the most powerful force that has been made available in the New Testament. It's the release of this revelation of His word in our days. And the shield of faith will quench all, not just one or two, all. Quench the fiery darts that the enemy has thrown against you. The reason why the Russians are a bit worried about the American Star Wars program is because if the Americans succeed, it renders all their weapons obsolete. Since their main weapons are ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, if the US has it, all their missiles are practically useless now. The moment they shoot it, it gets shot down. So any weapon that we have that could render the enemy powerless is powerful. It's a shield of faith. And the main force you utilize when you take authority, when you cast out demons, when you resist Satan, is the force of faith. Let's look in the Bible at the book of Matthew chapter 15 and see a deliverance case. Verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cried out after it." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lordship of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him and saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dog." And she said, "True, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Remember here that the woman is not coming for herself. She said, "My daughter, far away, is demon possessed," in verse 22. Possessed by demons. Now here's a deliverance case. So her daughter was a great distance away, hundreds of miles away. And she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, Master, I need your help to deliver her. I need the deliverance ministry." And finally, by her persistent faith, she kept coming to the Lord. And Jesus said in verse 28, and Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." You from that very hour. People think that demons are cast out just because of our screaming. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I'm trying to find a young man. People think that demons are cast out, you know, by our shaking. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if it's because you shook them hard, the demons came out, you might as well invent a mechanical machine. When the demons possess, put them on the machine, spread them down. Press a button, relax. Sit on a nice sofa chair. Why use your hands? Tie yourself up. Put them on the chair. And then you just tie them up nicely. You know, get a few interns and nurses, tie them up all nicely. Deliverance treatment. sit nicely in your chair, read maybe Kenneth Hagin's book or meditation booklet, and read the Bible out loud, hear nice music through your headphones, press a button, and go get Mother God is taking away, you know, and if the demon is stubborn, you could adjust it here. Say, now you want to come out, you don't know, God, I put you in second gear. And they can take so hard, your feet rattle. If they have false feet, make sure you take it out before you set them down. And so they're taking away, and all you have to do while they're taking is, in Jesus' name, come on out. You want to come out? In Jesus' name, come on out. Okay, you don't want third gear now. And wouldn't some Christian invent that kind of machine if that is the truth? So it doesn't have to do with our shaking. It doesn't have to do all this. The reason why demons respond to the command is because our command is given in faith. It's a faith in our lives that is released to words that they respond to. Demons respond to faith. So that if you have enough faith, you could stand right here in this building and command a demon who is 2,000 years away, who possess a person there, and maybe you are contacting them through the phone here. And the demon could be over there, and you could say, in Jesus' name, come on out! And he goes out. Or the person can be like the woman of Canaan, and she comes flying all the way here. Her daughter or her son could be right there in the mental institution. He has faith, you have faith, and when two agree on earth as touching anything, it is done, the demon will go out. The demon doesn't hear anything on this side, naturally. But spiritually, something goes out and ejects them out of the body. It is faith. Let's not miss the key. The key to deliverance is faith. Faith is a force that causes demons to be cast out, that causes demons to stop in all their maneuvers. Most of the time people give command, but they're half scared themselves. They see the demon, all is their scared. Come on, Jesus name! Come on! No wonder the demons don't respond. And sometimes while they are putting on the front, then Jesus name, come out! And then go to the other room, wipe their coat, straight over here. And come out again. But the demons detect it in the voice and in the spirit that comes forth from you when you speak your word. When demons detect fear, they don't obey. They don't obey. For it's faith that drives them out. As long as they can detect fear in the spirit of your voice, they will not respond. You could scream 10,000 times, it would not have worked. It's faith. Jesus said to the woman, your faith is great. It is done, and that same hour, before she could even go home, that same time, it took her more than 1 hour to get home, her daughter was already asleep. Because of the force of faith. Turn to Mark chapter 9 and another deliverance case. Mark chapter 9. And we see here a pathetic incident in verse 14. Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He came to the disciples. He saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him, and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one from the multitude answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and whenever he sees him, he throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. He answered, oh, faithless generation. Wow. When you deal with demons, you need faith. This is a faithless generation. He's saying everybody is faithless. And let's analyze the case. Soon,
this man, in verse 20, they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately that the spirit convulsed him, he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. When he has often he has thrown him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24. The father cried, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't believe fully. I still got unbelief. Help my unbelief. See, Jesus deals with the Father. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, a lot of people wouldn't realize what to do. There is the Father, and there is the Son. The Father was okay. He was not demon-possessed. It was the Son. And the demon was quite a demonstrative type. Convulsion, shaking, lashing a peak. What we do? I mean, if that father had brought that demon possessed son to this place here or to any church, most people's attention go to the son. I mean, it was a show on. That's what Satan likes. He likes a show. Lots of attention. And everybody will be trying, you know, to get rid of the demon. I'm sure some people will run with buckets and towels. Say, hey, the demon is coming, it's vomiting already. Come on, come on. Encourage them to vomit, come on. Yeah, one more demon, come on. And all the attention was gone to the son. But Jesus knew that he has to deal with the Father. While the son was making all kinds of attraction, all the eyes were on him. Like if I'm standing here preaching right now, and suddenly from the corner on my left sets a huge big peacock with all his feathers out, all your eyes are turned there and I'm to look too. And so there's all this demonstration, and Jesus couldn't be bothered. He seems like he's not even distracted. And that's what happens when demons are being cast out. People get distracted by the symptoms. They forget how to deal with it. And Jesus knew that the force of faith is the most important force. So Jesus was dealing with the Father. He had to put some faith into the Father by his word. He said, if you believe, implying he didn't believe fully. If you believe, verse 23, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The Father admitted, I believe. I believe now, Lord. Help my unbelief. So the Father had unbelief in his life. And we see here in Mark chapter 9, verse 28, when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And in Matthew 17, we'll talk about prayer and fasting afterwards, but let's look at Matthew 17 first. Verse 19 and 20, same incident recorded in more detail. Then the disciples came to Jesus and privately, they were a bit shy, so they had to ask privately, and said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief, exclamation mark. Because of your unbelief. Now look at this incident here. The father had unbelief, the disciples had unbelief, no wonder the demons didn't come out. Let's analyze the scripture correctly. Some people read this incident, all they see is the word, this kind come upon, not but by prayer and fasting. And all they did is just take one tiny point there and make it the main point. They say, oh, this kind of demon, take prayer and fasting. Some demons don't need to fast, some you need to fast. And they don't even understand what fasting does. How does your fasting affect the demons? Explain. They don't even understand. And we're going to look into that afterwards. But here, the main point, the Father had unbelief, the disciples had unbelief. No wonder it did not work. The wires were not connected properly. There was no energy flowing, no force or faith. That is why if a demon-possessed person were to manifest, the most important thing for me to sense is faith. Not look at symptoms and react to them. Faith drives the demon out. I remember the people who have come here. I mean, if you don't put faith there, you could have them reacting for another 5 hours. And people think that after the deliverance is complete, next day they need a treatment again. Because if you don't put faith, it's not permanent. It's the force of faith that drives out demons. It's the unbelief in the Father, the unbelief in the disciples, because of your unbelief. And then he explained, this kind go for not but by prayer and fasting. Now here is the reason. Jesus gave to his disciples an anointing to cast out demons. How do we know that? They were not born again, so they didn't have the believer's authority. The believer's authority only operates after you're born again. Jesus gave to the disciples an anointing to cast out. The anointing was an authority in itself. It was an authority that was delegated and imparted based on the impartation of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 1 and Luke chapter 9 verse 1, it says, and he gave them power and authority over demon powers, over every sickness and disease, and over every demon. You read carefully, every demon is mentioned in chapter 9 verse 1 of Luke. And the word every demon, if I understand the English, means all demons, which includes that dumb spirit there in Mark 9. And here you have an incident where objectively they had the authority, but subjectively it didn't work. Unless you're saying Jesus was a liar. Jesus gave them that power and authority through an impartation or delegation and anointing. So we accept what the word says. Yes, the authority and power, dunamis, was not working. Dunamis refers to the anointing. The reason it was not working was their unbelief. Can you imagine being so you have power over demons and you go out and it didn't work? So Jesus understood that prayer and fasting would demonstrate several things. Number one, prayer and fasting in their incident would demonstrate standing by faith on what Jesus has given them, not giving up. When you're willing to pray and fast over something because you're determined to get the answer, it is where the little kids are separated from the grown-up. It's where the amateur in Christ and the expert in Christ differs. It's where the half-hearted and the full-blooded are separated. You cannot get an answer and you say, I'm going to pass and pray through. Knowing that it belongs to you and it's not working. Number one, when you fast, it shows you're persistent in holding on by faith. I mean, I don't care. I don't care what the circumstances are saying, but I'm not eating under this manifest. Jesus promised me that it's not working. I'm not eating under the manifest, my friend. Number one, prayer and fasting will show for their determination and their faith. Number two, prayer and fasting would have released the anointing that God has placed in their life. See, the anointing increases when you pray and fast. When you pray and fast, You are denying yourself in the natural in order to move into the spiritual and be more spiritually sensitized. Prayer and fasting is merely in the natural. And when you make that choice to fast, you are choosing to yield to the spirit realm. You are putting your flesh under. That is why one of the side effects of fasting is you sleep less. When you are on the fast, you don't need as much sleep. One of the things that happen when you go on a periodic long fast is you tend to get up earlier and earlier. You don't need as much sleep. The body is different. It feels different. It feels very light. The opposite of it is true. If you are glutton and love lots of food, eat, drink and be merry, you probably are those who love to sleep 10, 12 hours. See, the more you feed your flesh, the more you become fleshy. And so the second reason is because prayer and fasting will release the anointing that Jesus imparted on them. For when you pray and fast, it releases the anointing that God has in your life. And it will have brought results. And that is how it's connected to what Jesus said in Matthew 17. This kind go forth not but by prayer and fasting. Then only you come to the third reason, that there are different types of demon powers. Some are more stubborn than others. But the key in overcoming your life is to be, quote unquote, spiritually as stubborn about the things of God as they are. And if Satan, you don't want to move, I'm not moving either. And usually he has to give way. Not all demon spirits are that way. And if you want to be the divine, live a fasted life, you will never have that kind of demon problem that you can't cast out. I mean, if you live a fasted life all the time, there are no demons that can stand against you, even this kind, or what kind, or one kind. If you live a fasted life all the time, Jesus lived a fasted life all the time. So it's important for us to realize that there are some demons, that's the third reason. They are more stubborn than others. Like I say, demons have personalities. The higher they rank, the more stubborn they are. Satan is stubborn. The small little cutie rat, you just boo and they run. You just say, in the name, they run already. But like Howard, what's his name? Pittman, who wrote the book Demons and Eyewitness Account, he says when he saw into the spirit realm and all the different types of demons, the first type of demon, the first rank, was so evil that they ignore his presence and Jesus' presence. To a certain extent. I mean, they fear Jesus, but they don't want to show it. And he said, the smaller one, when they came, I mean, they saw Jesus and him, they scattered. But the first rank, the fallen angels, they marched in rank when they saw Pittman, and they look at him, eyeball to eyeball. I mean, Jesus was standing right with William Pittman, and they came and stared like this. But of course they didn't harm him. They couldn't. But the fact is that they, like that. Then they walk. See, some of them are very stubborn. That's the third reason. Prayer and fasting show your spiritual, quote unquote, good stubbornness in the things of God. Whenever God said something, he promised something and it's not working, show your spiritual stubbornness to hold on. That is why Paul said, having done all, stand. When you fight against demon forces, your steadfastness, that is a positive word for saying instead of stubbornness, the negative implication, Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore.
Now, he is not playing around with words. When you fight against some of these demon forces, a steadfastness and immovability and stickability helps.
That is why Satan today is still resisting the church of Jesus Christ from rising up like the mighty army he should. And the church should have a kind of steadfastness and spiritual stubbornness against the work of the enemy. Say, I'm not letting go, Satan. Bulldog faith. That's what he can call it. All of us must have bulldog faith. But none of us must have bulldog faith. Alright. Now it's repeated also in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Four times he mentioned. In fact, in the Greek it's mentioned about six times. In Ephesians 6. Stand. When you fight the enemy, don't turn around. That's the only way to fight the enemy. Whether you cast out demons, you take authority over spirits in your city, in your home, over your children, or over demonic influences in the air, over the nation, over Satan and his cohorts all over the world. Your steadfastness is important. No shaky, wimpy worm of a wishy-washy Christian can drive him out. We need those Christians that, having done all, stand. For every place where your foot treads on shall be yours. It's like the land of Canaan. They are squatters there. You got to drive them out and then stand your ground. And if you stand your ground, God will back you up. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful power in Jesus' name. And we pray, oh God, that your people will rise up and stand on your great heritage in Christ. All of your inheritance that you have placed, oh God. All of your power and authority and anointing, Lord. And oh God, we pray that your people may rise as a force to contend with. That the enemy will flee before their face in terror as they see the people of God rise up on the authority that you have given them in Jesus' name. Let's all rise together. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we stand on the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have the victory. Praise God. Give Jesus a clap offering. God bless you.